السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira Ansarnia. Yes, it is your Friday afternoon dose of me here on Radio Islam International, live out of KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And I'm hoping that inshallah you'll stay in our company for... If you're listening on this 7th day of April, the 9th of Rajab, you're probably wondering, so what exactly is happening in South Africa if you're listening to us from outside of South Africa? Well, today is Take Action Day, Zuma Must Fall, all those slogans are being chanted. Yes, before the ad break there, you heard Brother Faisal giving you an update there, some live feed from Brother Ines. So, if you do stay tuned to Radio Islam International for the rest of the afternoon, you will get a much better understanding of what exactly these marches were all about today and how much of it turned out to be successful. Basically, that is what we're going to be speaking about in the first part of the program. We're going to be touching on what exactly today was all about, but not really from a political angle and not really from a news kind of perspective. But I'm going to be touching on, many people were asking the question, so we as Muslims of South Africa, how exactly does this affect all of us in South Africa? So I'm going to be touching on it a little bit from that perspective, and I'm going to also be narrating to you a story from the life of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh. And let's see how things were back in the day when the giants and luminaries of the past ruled over the land. Then what you can expect a little bit after that, after our second ad break, that is a insightful discussion with Sister Amina Jamal. As you know, that very soon is going to be World Health Day, and World Health Day often signifies, they pay attention to one particular aspect of health. This year's particular aspect that they're looking at, or this year they're looking at depression in particular. So I'd like to speak to Sister Amina about what depression is all about. There are so many women that are faced with depression. How do they come out of this? Is depression a reality? As Muslims, can we say we are depressed? We're going to be touching on this topic from all those angles. So stay tuned for that after the second ad break, after 2:30, inshallah. And then lastly, as we always round off the program and end off with the informal scoop, but by Laika Idris, inshallah. So all that and much more coming your way just after this ad break.
Yes, indeed, you are listening to Friday Fusion with me, Zakira Ansarnia. And inshallah, today we're going to be discussing a little bit with regards what exactly it means for us as Muslims in times perhaps as politically turbulent as we're facing. So basically, as a Muslim, many are asking, today's marches, today's demonstrations of we need change and Zuma must fall, where exactly did we fit into all of this? And honestly, it is a good question to ask. And I think because of, the hype that was created around it throughout the week, alhamdulillah, many of our ulama have responded. One particular response that I would like to share with you is that of Mufti Ibrahim Desai, hafizahullah. And he speaks about the fact that, these are times that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to us with regards, because whenever we speak about turbulent times, be it in terms of political or in terms of the fact that, sorry about that, we're having a few gremlins on the line here. Let me just repeat that. So basically, when we speak about the times that we are living in currently, in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us that in order for us to have good leaders and to have good leadership, then we need to remember to make a certain dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to make dua for our leaders, he expressed the fact that a'malukum ummalukum, that, you know, how our actions are, that is how our leaders would be. Hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us that whenever we make dua, we should make dua for sulh and for, you know, for the righteousness of the leaders that we have. And because of this, us making these types of du'as, it is evident then, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraging us to make these du'as, it is evident then that it is not only about, you know, the political landscape and how things are going, and that we as Muslims just should sit back and say that, oh, we don't have any part in this and we don't know what to do. We have very much a part to play in this, and the part that we could play in this is not merely to join in rallies and to join in marches, but rather to sit down and make fervent dua. And this is the part that I really, if I were to paraphrase, or if I were to, you know, give you a brief gist of what the message from Mufti Ibrahim Desai Hafizahullah was, this was it. It was that we as Muslims, with whatever is happening around us, we need to remember that one of the best things we could do for ourselves, for our South African fellow brothers and sisters, is to make dua. To make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us ease and afia, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easy for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our leaders just, and that, you know, peace and harmony can reign in the time that we are living in. Well, that's basically on that note. And then if you were to actually look into the lives of the leaders of the past, what exactly do we see, that stands out from their lives? Well, basically, we notice that they were those that were very, very circumspect about using the funds of, the people of their land. It is even mentioned with regards to Zohar ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, that once someone came to have a discussion with him, and having got a bit into the discussion, when he realized that it was something of a personal nature, he then asked the person to, if he could just give him a minute, and he then put out the lantern, and then he went on with his discussion. When this was, when the person asked him with regards why he did this, he mentioned that, you know what, the oil in that lantern was being funded by state funds, and it was only meant for that. So, subhanAllah, we see the type of justice that reigned in their times. Even if we look at the time of Umar radiallahu anh, we will see that even in his time, there was such a level of justice. It is mentioned that even the wolves would not be seen eating or devouring flocks of sheep. And the reason for this was because of the type of justice that reigned in that time. Now, subhanAllah, I don't think me and you are even expecting anything to that extent. But, you know, most of the times when we read about the corruption and all these types of things, the different scandals that are going around with regards to the president and ministers of, the various ministers in their various portfolios, often what happens is we think to ourselves, where exactly is our country headed? But what we should really be asking ourselves is, where exactly am I headed as a Muslim? And how am I changing my amal in my small ways? Am I sticking to being truthful? Am I sticking to be just in whatever affairs I have, in my daily interactions? And subhanAllah, when we look at things this way, we will realize that even our small actions lead to bigger results. Even, these small interactions that we have lead to bigger things. So, subhanAllah, yes, that was just basically a point that I wanted to bring out from that discussion, or rather from that message that was going around. And I thought it was very pertinent. So we're going to go for a break now, inshallah. And when we return, we're going to have Sister Amina Jamal on the line, and we're going to be discussing depression. Indeed, it is the Healing Hub year on Friday Fusion. Brother Yunus from Linasia has sent us some feedback on what we were discussing before the ad break. We were actually discussing, the whole marches that have been going on today and all the rest of it. Brother Yunus says, we can march as much as we want. It will not change a thing if we don't correct our amal. and march to the masjid 5 times a day, as this might make a difference. Well, Brother Yunus, indeed, this not might make a difference, but it will definitely make a difference if we choose to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our situation, to make things easier for us. This will definitely make things better. Getting back to our discussion for this part of the program, we're speaking depression. So our guest will be with us on the line in a few minutes, inshallah. Our engineer will just try and get hold of her while I do a bit of an intro for you. Depression, when we speak depression, and when I ask you, do you think that a Muslim can ever be depressed, a Muslimah in particular, perhaps you'd answer by saying no, this is not possible, because a Muslimah always has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no matter what your no matter what your problem is, you could always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But hey, you know what, I've actually had women send me emails or send me messages and let me know that they are in clinical depression. So to all the women out there who really are suffering from the reality of depression, we, our thoughts and our du'as are with you at this very moment. Because subhanAllah, we now have come to understand, after much research has been done, that depression is indeed a reality, be it in a Muslim home or not. Well, to tell us more, alhamdulillah, the engineer gives me the thumbs up. We've got Sister Amina online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Amina.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We do apologize for pulling you away from your lovely lunch, Dasturkhan Day. I'm sure it was all quite sumptuous. But nevertheless, let's move on, inshallah. We're speaking depression today. And I've explained to the listeners why we're speaking depression, because of World Health Day and, the subject they're dealing with this year, or what they're being specific about, is depression. So inshallah, I believe you have more to tell us with regards to women and depression and the reality of this.
Yes, you know, it is a reality, and it's something that we cannot ignore anymore. In the past, Mualima, that was what it was. It was a stigma, and you can't talk about it, you can't say you're depressed, you can't use those words. And even those that suffered from it had to sort of just, not talk about it, not tell anybody that you're feeling depressed. You know, you get different signs that you have, show you, and symptoms that you need to know, then that would identify that you are depressed. Mm-hmm. And in the past, these were things that people just had to live with, no matter what it did to you, mentally, emotionally, physically, you just couldn't say that you were depressed. But very quickly, I'd like to just give a few points of light, for people to then identify if mm-hmm. they are depressed. For example, if you get some numbness, you could be having a stroke, but also certain times people feel those kind of things, or they constantly get headaches. That also, is also a sign. Obviously, you will rule out, other things that you're getting a headache for. Maybe you're dehydrated, mm-hmm. maybe you got tension headaches, you got spasms, so you need to look at that. Sometimes you get some chest pain. If it just feels tight, heavy, and it just doesn't want to go away, then you need to also check that out. You get tenderness and pain in the back of your lower leg, that could also be another sign. Obviously, we have to rule out other major illnesses that we get, but if you're getting any one of these signs or more, Aaron, I'm going to talk about some things as well, is that some people even get blood in the urine, and you make sure that you don't have kidney stones, things like that. You have breathing problems, mm-hmm. you find you feeling anxious, you feel sad, you feel like crying often, nothing makes you feel any better. You sometimes get thoughts that are suicidal as well. You just feel it's like the end of the road. You just cannot go on anymore. And you just basically have this unhappy feeling, restless feeling, anxiety, and totally unhappy in the situation that you are in.
Now, Samuel, before you go on there, there was something so amazing just now that you mentioned it. It sparked a thought. So inshallah, we're having this program in Port Elizabeth this weekend coming. I will be presenting a program then. I was doing some research for it. One of the most amazing things caught my eye. It is mentioned that often the emotions we feel show up in bodily pain way before we actually acknowledge that emotionally something is going on. So the fact that you mentioned these physical ailments is so amazing. It ties right into what I was researching.
Yes. Now, you know, it first manifests itself in these emotional and mental uneasiness that we feel. The physical manifests much later.
Mm.
So it's actually the other way. So you would be feeling these things, and because they are not being addressed, they then manifest in physical ailments.
Mm,
so
okay.
Like these points that I've mentioned, you know, where you start getting this tightness in your chest and all that kind of thing. But that is happening because of something that has been triggered in your brain. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we have different types of depression as well. You get situational depressions. That may be temporary deep distress or sadness. And then you get the clinical depression, which
mm-hmm.
is actually a mental health disorder. And
okay.
that will then affect the way you work, the way we sleep, the way we eat, the way we enjoy pleasurable activities. In fact, we won't enjoy them anymore. And a depressive disorder will just—it's more than like a passing mood, right? It's not a sign of your personal weakness, and we cannot just will it or wish it away, because
okay.
it's a change that takes place then in the chemicals of our brain, which can then trigger a certain mood that we will be, you know, feeling. So
mm-hmm.
that's why we need to understand that. And you know, there's numerous factors. If we have to ask what causes depression. It can be genetic as well. So if
okay.
it is in the family, then you find that you inherit that kind of genes. And some people, it will come out, and others, it may just not even be there. And it may be certain things that can trigger it as well. So it can be genetic, it could be a psychological thing. Then environmental factors are also involved in that. So we have to understand, but the relationship then between, you know, the chemistry of your brain and your experience that you're having in life
mm-hmm.
is then a two-way street. Yes,
right.
It's true that our brain affects how we handle our situations in life, but also the way we solve our problems and handle the challenges we are faced with, that will greatly affect the mood and the mood chemistry of our brain. So, for example, Malima, people who have low self-esteem or people who are constantly pessimistic, you know, always
mm-hmm.
looking at the downside of everything, negative side of everything, or people who readily get so overwhelmed by any stressful situation, or people who have very severe physical illness, they
okay.
are prone to depression.
All right. But again, you were saying that the suppression of this depression could then lead to, you know, all these physical ailments also that could show up in
yes,
various
yes,
forms.
Yes, definitely. And a common question comes is, can a Muslim be depressed?
Yes.
Because
yes.
we submit to the will of Allah and Allah alone, and we believe and we trust that Allah Ta'ala will then take good care of us no matter what happens, as long as we keep our side of the relationship that we have with Him. And of course, you know, we admit our limitations as human. And so we go through life looking ahead positively, worrying only about what is in our ability as a human to worry about or have knowledge about. And then we obviously leave the rest to Allah and in His wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, existential concerns that can cause the serious distress as we're trying to understand why I'm here, what am I doing, what's my point of living, if I'm going to die anyway. You know, we have people telling us this, people who have these
yes.
Severe illnesses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so in life, we all, being Muslim or non-Muslim, we get affected by life's, all our troubles that we go through, challenging, we have disturbing thoughts. And, you know, so it's a bit difficult. So we're resistant, in other words, you know, to this emptiness that we focus on in trying to take control of our lives, in trying to make the most of, you know, the situation that we are in. So sometimes we feel completely lost, we feel so alone in a crisis situation, and you feel hopeless, helpless, depressed.
Mm. So if I were to ask you, Stamina, for a sister out there who is suffering from clinical depression, you know, she's tried everything. And, you know, she's tried the whole getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of that. But really, there are days where she just feels she cannot get out of bed. What would your advice be to her?
You know, in Islam, we are not required to be like superhuman. If we experience negative feelings, we encourage to resist them, obviously, with positive thoughts and actions. And we have to go and seek professional help if the case is clinical. You know, like any other form of illness. If you're diabetic, you will go and see your physician for it. If you have a bone problem, arthritis, you go and see an orthopedic surgeon. So if you're feeling this, there's absolutely no stigma attached, and you go and see your psychologist, go for therapy. You must do this. You cannot think it's going to just go away and wish it away, as I said right at the beginning. It just doesn't go away, especially if it's a clinical depression. You need help. So by talking to friends, family members who you can trust completely, who won't judge you, and you know that you're totally at ease, and they will also keep your trust, which is very important, then only can we open up and talk to people. If we don't
have that's something so vital that you pointed out there. Yes, there's a great stigma that used to be attached to it, but I think as time has gone past and people have realized that, hey, wait, this mental illness, there is a thing such as mental illness, and hence people need to go to see, you know, psychologists or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with having to do that.
Absolutely. So we need to now, and it is changing, you know, we need to have this mindset. If somebody in our family is going through this, then we do not push it under the carpet, because the consequences can be quite detrimental for long term. Even moms who have babies, they go through, say, postnatal depression. Right? You have our students who are doing the matric exam, or students who are studying for the MBA, for example, which is quite a challenging course to do. They, you know, sometimes they will go through this. So how do we help them? We can't act like it's not there. You will see the signs. Our young girls, when they're reaching puberty, there are times of the month when they get this. And some girls can get very moody, and their mood swings lead them to depression and lead them to do things that we find society unacceptable. So if you find this is happening in your teenagers, then you need to have this addressed, and they can get the help. So why not? So obviously, you know, we have du'as that we read for anxiety, like laqad ja'akum and things like that, for, you know, calmness, for depression. We have the answer for that. And of course, we so believe in this. So verily with every difficulty there's relief, verily with every difficulty there is relief, you know. So we have a belief in that. And this is a perfect prescription for grief, for anxiety, alhamdulillah, and we believe in that. But I have just a few points that I'd like to say for somebody if they want to improve their life. Also, if your life is in disarray and dear makar, you know, as they say, you're here, there, and everywhere. If you want to have some order in your life, and, you know, if you're a new mom, then you find that, you know, your life has changed so much. When you get married, your life changes. So there's different times in our life that this happens. And sometimes those can be trigger factors, that if you have this underlying condition, and it can, you just need one challenge, and there you go. You know, you just hit the top, and then you can get into this kind of mode. You need to be with people and so forth. So I'll just give you 10 very quick points. The first one is plan your day. You can plan it the night before, or you can plan it in the morning.
Okay.
Enjoy your breakfast without checking your phone. Then,
all right.
It's very good to smile in the mirror. Look in the mirror when you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth and so forth. Smile at yourself. How many of us do this? We look at our face and we just don't want to look at our face at times. But smile. And then very important is also to read. So whether you would sit and read the Quran for 15 minutes, 20 minutes in the morning, or whether you would read an Islamic book, or you would read a magazine, or you would read anything, but read. Reading is very, it's Iqra, it's the first word. And there's such wisdom in this. Then meditate for 10 minutes. Number 6, talk to a friend or a family member, but talk deeply. Very important to share and to talk about something that is, of deep consistency. That's very, very important. And then take a picture of what your day looks like. Some sometimes we stand in the shower and that's when thoughts come flooding, you know, and then you feel down and you feel miserable. That's when you've got to take a good picture. You get out and then you say, okay, today's going to be the best day that I've ever had. Shukr to Allah that I'm up and I'm about, and this is going to be the best day of my life, inshallah. And write down what makes you happy. Write down what makes you unhappy, and then work out why am I feeling like this. You know, when you put pen to paper, it's very, very important. And it's your own handwriting that you're doing it, and that is a big difference. Not just thinking it, but writing it down. And then hug someone you love with your whole heart. Very important. Love our children, hug our children. Hug your spouse, hug your parents, hug your sibling. And you find these 10 little steps that I've given you today will largely improve your life and make you much happier. So for those that are not feeling, you know, the major depression but have this bit of sadness and things like that, which can then lead to major depression if it's unaddressed, I would say start your day off with these 10 points every day, and inshallah you will find that you'll be a much happier, much more positive person.
Inshallah, inshallah. Jazakallah khair so much for once again joining us on the program. And I think, alhamdulillah, with those solutions that you've given our sisters, now they have something to work with. And often, when someone is in a situation like this, you don't just want to hear someone explain to you what you know you're feeling. Rather, you want someone to help you out of it, and you want someone to give you a solution. So jazakallah khair there for giving them some tips to work through this, and I'm sure it's going to help any sister out there who's feeling a bit down and blue. And so we speak again, Sister Amina. As always, it was an extreme and an absolute pleasure to have you with us online. Jazakallah khair, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, that was Sister Amina Jamal there. And yes, alhamdulillah, once again, I must reiterate the fact that this month it is, this month it is World Health Day, and they will be touching on depression in particular. Today we are also going to be having one more segment in the program. Yes, before our ad break, we're going to be having one more segment, and that is our informal scoop with Laika Idris. So inshallah, we're going to, just going to wait for my engineer to give me the thumbs up there that Laika is online, and then we're going to go for our informal scoop segment. For those of you that didn't get a chance to listen to that entire podcast, segment with Sister Amina, we will inshallah put a podcast up of that segment of the program up a little bit later. So check my Facebook page or my Twitter handle, and inshallah I'll have a podcast of it up for you. Alright, we have Sister Laika online with us. Sister Laika, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You can go ahead, inshallah, with your new segment.
Okay. So it is the 7th of April, which is very, very exciting time for South Africans across the country. So here's to the 7th of April. Keeping it local to our South African stories, a young South African activist honored with a mural in New York. The young South African teenage activist, Zuleika Patel, has inspired a mural across a wall in New York City. Patel was prominent during protests against discriminatory hair policies at the Pretoria Girls High School last year. The artist Lexi Bella is well known as an American muralist who has created tributes to female political and pop culture leaders. Adding to her distinguished artwork collection is a recently completed mural of Patel on a wall in Flushing Avenue in New York. Patel, who was 13 at the time, was part of a peaceful protest against her school policy of unconventional hairstyles. In a viral video, Patel can be seen calmly defying security staff who attempted to disrupt the protest, and she was quoted saying, "Asking me to change my hair is like asking me to erase my blackness." The protest inspired similar protests around South Africa, which led to the Gauteng Department of Education probing into school hair policies. In December 2016, Zuleika was included in the BBC's 100 Women list that recognized the world's leading female voices and trailblazers. She joined other prominent South African women on the list, including former public protector Thuli Madonsela and Zuleika Mandela. Zuleika was recently invited to attend the funeral of South African struggle icon Ahmed Kathrada, who died last month. And keeping in line with our first story of women empowering women, a Cape Town teen named Avantika Naidu uses birthday gifts to uplift girls. While others may have looked forward to gifts on their birthday, the 16-year-old thought it would be better to give to others. The grade 10 pupil at Rustenburg Girls High School recently asked her friends and family to skip the presents and rather donate to a cause which was close to her heart, titled Keeping Girls in School. She wanted something that would empower girls to continue their education and excel during the natural process of menstruation, because statistics indicate that girls miss out on school when they don't have access to sanitary pads. The teen asked her friends and family to buy subs packs designed by Sue Bonds. Now, these are sanitary pads that are washable, reusable, and they can be clipped to specifically made cotton underwear and are distributed by the teen and her mother, Pragashini, through their Project Dignity. At each donation, the girls received motivational talks and talks about the female body. Avantika realized after asking people to spread the message of this cause, many people were unaware of the challenges young girls face in school. Avantika says that if we all work together, we can make a difference and have a better and brighter future. The reaction from girls who received the goodie bags were amazing, and they were truly grateful, which inspires Avantika to continue raising funds where possible. Pragashini couldn't be more proud of her daughter's generous acts, and she feels blessed to have a daughter who is truly compassionate about the needs of fellow girls. And that's it from me on the informal scoop with Like I Dreese. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And yes, indeed, some very enlightening stories over there with Laika, as always. Well, we will get more of that next week, same place, same time. But before I leave, if you are in the Eastern Cape this weekend, in Port Elizabeth in particular, tomorrow, inshallah, you can catch me at Madrasatul Salihat, where I will be doing a program at the Girls Madrasa, where alhamdulillah I graduated, so it's going to be something of a homecoming, I should think. So really looking forward to that. And yes, inshallah, if you're in Port Elizabeth tomorrow, come on over at 2 p.m. Yes, tomorrow afternoon. The madrasa is situated on corner of Chekhov's and Bow Road in Parkside. So inshallah, that's where I will get to meet all those of you that listen to the program from that part of the world. Until then, and until we meet up next time, I do request from you your special du'as for myself and my engineer, Brother Ismail. Until then, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.